But over I did what strikes me now as a dreadful thing. I worked my fingers around one of the acorns and tried to prise it from its setting, and when that failed to release it, I got out my penknife and dug away with that. I didn't do it in a spirit of vandalism. I wasn't a spiteful or destructive boy. It was simply that, in admiring the house, I wanted to possess a piece of it, or rather, as if the admiration itself, which I suspected a more ordinary child would not have felt, entitled me to it. I was like a man, I suppose, wanting a lock of hair from the head of a girl he had suddenly and blindingly become enamoured of. I'm afraid the acorn gave at last, though less cleanly than I'd been expecting, with a tug of fibre and a fall of white powder and grit. I remember that as disappointing. Possibly I'd imagined it to be made of marble. But nobody came. Nobody caught me. It was, as they say, the work of a moment. I put the acorn in my pocket and slipped back behind the curtain. The parlour-maid returned a minute later and took me back downstairs. My mother and I said good-bye to the kitchen staff and rejoined my father in the garden. I felt the hard plaster lump in my pocket now with a sort of sick excitement. I began to be anxious that Colonel Ayres, a frightening man, would discover the damage and stop the fate. But the afternoon